Welcome to the CDL People vs. Profit podcast. I'm Andrew Dickens, and in this episode, we're hearing from the winner of the 2021 New Zealand HR Manager of the Year at the recent HRD Awards. Her name is Catherine Collins. She's the HR Manager for Pernod Ricard Winemakers, where she's been leading a complex change management program. So welcome to the studio, Catherine. Hello.
Thanks, Andrew.
So you work for a winemaker. How good is that?
Great.
I guess there are perks.
Yes, you get to experience a really amazing range of beautiful wines and spirits, because we have wines and spirits from around the world and New Zealand.
Maybe some people won't realise just how big Pernod Ricard is, because there's been a lot of amalgamations and lots of old names. I remember from Denis Otago and all that have all come in to be one bigger company. How big is Pernod Ricard?
Well, it is a global business. So I guess in New Zealand, we have, you know, some wine brands, and we have Montana, Brancott, Stoneleigh, Church Road, and we produce those wines here and we export those globally. And then going wider, we're in Australia, we know names like Jacob's Creek, and then also the USA and Spain, and then head office is France. And I guess under the whole global business, we've got a range of different wines and spirits. I mean, some other brands you know, like Absolut and Kahlua, and and some of the beautiful Scotch whiskies and so on.
I must come and visit you on a Friday at the end of play at 5 o'clock. So what do you do at Pernod Ricard?
Well, my role has been the HR manager for New Zealand. Historically, I've spent about the last 3 years with Pernod Ricard. Originally, I came in to be the HR manager for New Zealand, so for our business. We talk about grain to glass, so our business is everything from viticulture and winemaking through to, you know, tastings in the supermarket. So we talk about grain to glass. So, you know, we had about 500 staff in New Zealand when I came into the role, and my role was having a team where we partner with the business across all of it, you know, whether it's the operations or sales.
You must be quite good at it. You've won the 2021 New Zealand HR Manager of the Year Award.
Yes, just recently. That's probably more related to the last 18 months. So in 2019, we actually went through a reasonably significant restructure, and that actually impacted my own role. So the role I just spoke about a moment ago actually was disestablished in late 2019. And then I was asked to stay on to manage a project, this complex project, which is part of the bigger change. And that's been about, you know, shutting down an operational site and working through managing the people work stream of that.
Right. Okay. And, so, well, let's talk about that right now, because let's talk about change management and the place of HR. You had to close down an Auckland site. There was a big restructure, a lot of people involved. Mm-hmm. You're the HR manager. What was your actual role in that review and restructure?
Well, initially, my role was involved in the planning to some extent of what the restructure and our new world needed to look like. And so there was an impact to our broader business, and we had some change there, and I was involved in that and how we organised and managed through and actually delivered that change. But more so, it's been, as I say, the last sort of year to 18 months, my role has been to lead the people work stream of closing a site. And that means working alongside multiple other project work streams to make sure all the people pieces happen at the right time, because obviously those other activities, by shutting things, moving things off, has impacted, you know, the people that work on that site.
Yes. It's sort of like, you know, one thing, it's like falling dominoes. One thing falls, another thing falls, another thing changes, another thing has to be done. It's an awful lot of people. There's an awful lot of coordination involved of not only your own staff, but what they're doing to other staff.
Yep, it is. You know, what's critical right from the start is having, you know, it's like anything really, having a really good plan, a change plan that you've thought about all the pieces, all the impacts, all the risks, but also a really good communications plan, which goes in every direction, you know.
So you talked about sort of figuring out what the company looks like. Did the executive decide that and you just action it? Or do you actually advise the executive and say, hey, this is what a company could look like?
Now, probably in this case, it's an example of, you know, the business, the executive having to or needing to strategically review all of the operations and work out what needs to be done differently for the longer term. So it was an executive business decision rather than it wasn't my decision. And therefore, you know, my role and people like me are executing on that.
Could you say the executive decided what the goalpost was, but you had to do all the running and figure out how to get there?
Yeah, to some extent, that's what we do.
This huge project won you this award that we talked about before. Why do you think you won the award for this project?
It's really been about how to manage through change as effectively as you can. And by that, I mean you know, at the end of the day, it's the impact is on people. Mm. And how do you, someone once said to me, how do you do what you do if it's a restructure and a downsizing or closing it and it's impacting potentially negatively on people? And it's about doing it in a way that you can get people there as best as you can during a tough time. Mm. So I guess that's my way of looking at it, is that it needs to be done. Sometimes that's the harsh reality, and that you do it in the best way you can. And by that, I mean you're putting activities in place and support in place for people all throughout the time. And this was a long road. This is, you know, people, we announced this in November 2019, and we've had groups of people leaving that site, leaving the operations in March last year, April, June, December, and again next week.
Yeah. So you got some survivors who are hurting, and others, you know, who are changing.
You know, it's change, and people respond differently no matter what. Some people may be close to retirement and might not be a bad thing. You've got other people who have got, you know, are really concerned because of the financial aspect or a family or all those reasons, or maybe not feeling confident with going out into the job market again. Maybe they've worked for the business for 20 years, which we have as well, and that happens in lots of businesses. And so it's different for everybody. And I think the piece is about how do you do it in the best possible way that you can, you know, support people as much as you can.
And of course, you mentioned earlier, you got restructured yourself. So I was thinking immediately, who HR is the HR? But, you know, you're just as much at the business end of this change as well as actually, you know, delivering it. Yeah. So it's an 18-month long project, which is a very long project. And I wondered, how much help did you get, like, from outsourced work, or did you have to bring extra people in, you know? Because the circumstances would have been changing all through the 18 months.
So, yes, a lot of support. It's a team piece. It's absolutely no individual, me or anyone, does it alone. You can't. You've got to be collaborative internally. And as part of the plan and that, you know, that support for people, that genuine care for making sure you can help people into whatever's next, we engaged an outplacement company and worked with them. And, you know, right up front, it was about engaging early, getting to know each other, them understanding what our needs were and what we thought the needs of the people were. They're also experts in that, so that's great. And then having a good rhythm of how you communicate with each other, and even just keeping in the loop as much as you can. So one of the key things for me in managing this was making sure we're communicating really transparently and really clearly with our people, and then sharing that with our outplacement providers, so that when they were supporting our people individually or in groups, they knew what we were saying, and we were all, you know, there was no hidden agendas. Everyone's talking to the same.
Well, what would you say to any company and any HR manager who has a need for outplacement of work? How best to integrate them into your team?
Well, you quickly get on the same page, and how you understand what they can do for you and for your people, really. And then sharing that back with your people, because, you know, especially if it's somebody on the outside, some employees are going to see that as unusual. And other people might see that as good, because there's a little bit of a distance. So I think, again, it's just communicating with each other all the way along, you know, and making sure our people know what they're getting from the outplacement provider, and that it's actually for them. So it's making sure they understand that this is for them, this is their support. So, you know, the outplacement provider we got in, and the first thing we did was have workshops where they met people in a group, and they ran a workshop to get people thinking about, okay, this is happening to me, and I have to go through this process, and what's my journey going to look like, and what do I need and want out of this? And so they're working with people like that to start with, then individually working with people.
So it's getting them in, and they become part of your culture as well.
Yep, they do. They really are. They're part of the extended team. And trusting them too, that they know what they're doing. They are experts in what they do. And being slightly removed can be a good thing in many ways. And it also allows those of us probably internally to focus on some of the other things that we need to focus on along the way.
Talk to me about the executive, because a lot of HR experience that people have is, you know, they are the employee, and HR is telling them about the new changes to culture or whatever. But you've got the top layer, the executive, who are relating to you and communicating with you, and it's a back and forth. So how do you communicate with the executive in regards of HR issues?
In many ways, it's not that different. It's just about communicating and transparency. And I suppose you've got a job to do, and there's a trust that you're going to do that job. You have to be a conduit between the senior, whoever's more senior to you, and the people. And it's about keeping them informed about what's happening. And we have, of course, like with most, you know, any large projects, you've got a rhythm set up, you've got a steering committee. So, you know, the people, reporting back around the people pieces that are happening, not at an individual level, of course, but, you know, generally what's happening, what are some of the issues, what are some of the risks, what are some of the successes, what's the feedback, you know, making sure that they're well aware of what's going on. And there are times where you have to seek, I suppose, sign off for certain things. You know, you're recommending something changes and you're explaining why things need to change. I mean, we have had to change tech a lot along the way, and it's just about being that conduit and keeping them informed. And we're all on the same page, to be honest. I mean, there's complete support for being able to, especially the HR team and the wider team running the project, to actually just get on with it and trust that we know what we're doing.
And a lot of talk about, you know, HR teams are helping the emotional welfare of those people affected by change. But do you also have to look after the emotional welfare of those people affecting the change? In other words, the exec, because a lot of them will be feeling quite a lot of turmoil in going through change and what they are instigating on the company.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's not, this sort of change touches at all levels. You know, there's senior people through this change whose roles are going, and there's executive people who, you know, their teams are changing because of it. And so decisions have to be made, and we all have to understand why. And, you know, whether you're an executive or whether you're, you know, someone else in the wider team, everybody's in it and everybody's impacted by it.
Yeah. And how important is honesty?
Oh, it's probably number one, really. I mean, you know, I keep coming back to that word of transparency, which to me is kind of related, you know, to honesty, you know, being transparent, but I guess more broadly, honesty, you know, how people are feeling. And it's something I've made sure I'm mindful of myself through this process, not just because I'm impacted and affected by it, but being real to how you feel and trying to understand and acknowledge how you feel. And that not every day is a great day, and then it's okay to tell people, you know, that sort of aspect of honesty is really important as well, to say, you know, hey, Andrew, I'm actually having a really bad day, or this happened, and, you know, but then there's a resilience factor to be able to try and acknowledge it and move on.
No. Well, it's HR, not PR.
Yeah, it's...
It is what it is. Yeah. Absolutely. You won the 2021 New Zealand HR Manager of the Year Award at the HRD Awards New Zealand. You won this, and, of course, on your watch in winning this, there was COVID. Tell us about the effect of COVID on your job as an HR manager.
Yes, well, we announced this change to the business and closing the site in November 2019. So we were underway with this project and everybody knew what was happening, and generally speaking, the timelines of it, which was from then through till March 2021. So we engaged our outplacement provider and we got a really, what we thought was a really good plan in place around having workshops on site, you know, getting our people prepared and ready to transition throughout this time, whether they were leaving earlier on or in March, or whether they were leaving the business this March. And then, yes, COVID came along. And so, but like everybody, we just had to change everything instantly. The challenge, of course, was about face-to-face was going to be really important in the outplacement and the support for people. Not just outplacement, but we had a range of other activities. So we'd engage, for example, our local budgeting provider to come and talk to people. We had, you know, there's EAP services, there's a whole lot of stuff that we were doing to, we had other employers who wanted to come and talk to our people. So a whole lot of face-to-face stuff. So COVID came along, we had to figure out how do we do that differently and virtually. And so, you know, as everybody did really, we've just very quickly got our heads together with especially the outplacement provider and said, what can we do? Because we cannot not do this. We cannot not run workshops. We cannot not provide career coaching and helping people with their CVs and interview skills to move on. You know, these, our timeline is probably going to be what we think it is. So how do we still do that? So we really just worked together. You know, it was fortunate that the provider we had is, you know, sophisticated and was able to adapt as well. The workshops, they were able to work out with us how we just ran them virtually. And they have a really good portal or online resource toolkit. So using all of that and just rejigging it all to make sure people are still getting what they need, if they're sitting at home during COVID.
Let me get this straight in my head. An 18-month project that was suddenly interrupted in the middle by COVID as well. But right from the beginning, you brought outplacement into the process. Mm-hmm. Why did you get the outplacement in so early, and why is that important?
For a number of reasons it's important. You know, you've got people in an outplacement business who this is their speciality. There's also an aspect of being slightly removed as opposed to the HR team. Sometimes that can be useful and helps people in terms of confidentiality and just that extra piece. I think the other thing is internally resourcing. You can't do everything, so you can't necessarily plan it and deal with all the other pieces of change, because the outplacement, the transition piece is one piece of it, but you've got a whole lot of other change activity happening around, you know, getting, you know, contractually even, a whole lot of employment relations type activities going on. So it's about sharing the load, really, and then utilising the strengths of different areas. I mean, yes, there's times where you can actually try, and I've been in jobs and businesses where you do actually do that yourself. You run the workshops on, you know, helping people think about what's next. You run workshops on interview skills, or you help people with their CVs, but sometimes you can't spread yourself too thin. So it's actually important to do that. And you know, these guys do it well and they adjust really well as well. Yep.
So Catherine, being an 18-month project, that's a lot longer than many people have experience in projects. You know, you're used to, you got a month to do this, you got 6 weeks to do this, but 18 months is a very long time. How do you keep the focus and how do you keep the team motivated?
Well, that is very much a team effort. It's probably, again, the most important piece of that is right from the start communicating with everybody as honestly as you can about what's happening so that there are no surprises. Acknowledging that it is a journey and just, you know, without being cheesy about it, but it is a journey. You know, you're talking, we would regularly communicate to the team and, you know, through various ways, often by email to make sure everybody got it, but also where we needed to in messages. You know, having even sessions with managers, so especially earlier on when we had more people on site, you know, getting the managers together every month from the start so that we could say, right, this is where we're at right now, this is what the plan is, and what do you think about that, and is there anything we're missing that we need to be thinking about? So it's sort of that up-down communication as well. So that communication piece is really important. And then acknowledging that the journey is different for people. So as I say, we had from a November announcement, we had a first group of people finishing at the end of March and then another group in April and June and so on. So continuing to, you know, somewhat prioritise, because if you were leaving in the first group of people, we needed to get quickly work with you to help you. And then if you were the March people, we'd shift onto that. So, and but also to tell you that if you were sort of a year later, that we were still working with you and what activities, you know, who did we have coming on site, what things could we give you access to or help you with, or just make sure that you knew you could ask the right questions of the right people, and that also we're coming to you. So we're getting there, but we need to focus on here. So a little bit like that.
There's obviously waypoints all the way through, you know, and goals and intermediary goals, etc. Is it important to stick to those, or do you need to be flexible in this thing, having a rough idea of the journey rather than having a, we've got to do this by March the 2nd?
I think it's a bit of both. It's having, you've got to have a robust plan. You've got to know what you're going to do and when you're going to do it, but you have to be able to adapt your plan. And COVID is the classic example for all of us, isn't it, where we had to do that. But also if you're hearing or seeing or sensing even that things, that the plan isn't working for the people, because at the end of the day, it's not about a plan working just for the business, it's working for the people as well. And luckily in this project, everyone at every level was on the same page, I believe. You know, so as I said before, you know, executive team only expected the best for the people. And keeping it real is probably the other thing I was thinking about. How do you keep it really real?
And the outplaced work that, and the people who are doing that sort of work, is that also quite a good sort of measure about where you're getting to? Because they've got a slight step away, and they can say, oh yeah, you're actually progressing really quick with this, or you know, you're dragging your feet with this, you know.
Yes, and that's actually a really good point when it comes to why you would use an external party for outplacement, because a good outplacement provider can help you with your data, your reporting, which sounds clinical, but it's actually really important, because that's how you get to understand what people are thinking and feeling and seeing. For example, you know, we can see, instead of it being anecdotal in terms of what's happening, we're able to actually understand from the outplacement provider what percentage of people are actually taking up the support that's on offer, right through to what are the days from when they left to when they got a new role somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you know, what's that looking like?
And they can look at what you're doing as well. Fresh eyes, new perspectives.
Exactly. Yeah. More brains. More people in it. Yep.
Now, of course, you mentioned the infamous Zoom or Teams or Skype all that digital stuff we got into over COVID, and we all learned it really, really quick. But it, I mean, it is 2021. How has digital equipment and technology changed HR in your experience? And what are the tools that have made things easier, more efficient, or better?
Yeah, well, all of that has changed it for all of us, hasn't it? And I think the HR profession is very well aware. I mean, there's a huge amount of dialogue and articles and, you know, that around all of this and what it's changed and what it's doing. I think, you know, technology is only going to play more of a part in everything we do, whether it's Zoom or Teams, but there's a lot more to it. And I think we're realising that we can use technology much more effectively. It's giving us information, it's allowing us, which then allows us to make decisions, better decisions, maybe quicker decisions. And, you know, that's all really important.
We also have the move to work at home. And that's quite an interesting thing to, you know, for executives of management to actually monitor the output and the productivity of the workforce when the workforce, you never ever see them. They're at home and they're using the technology. And I presume they rely on HR and many other people just to make sure that everything's tickety-boo.
Yeah, I think, you know, is there a reliance on HR? I mean, the role of HR there is around supporting, you know, the business or the organisation to do what it needs to do. You know, people need support, yes. But I think it actually comes back to how does any organisation set itself up to be effective with the technology it's using and the ways of working, you know. So, you know, a lot of businesses now are saying, right, here is our flexible policy. You know, you can do 2 days at home and you need to come in for 1 or 2 days and then the other day you can do whatever you like, whatever place. But however, if Andrew decides that he doesn't want to be at home and he wants to do all 5 days in, then Andrew should be able to do all 5 days in because he's got his reasons. So I think what it's doing is showing us that trust is really important. I believe we should start from a position of trust that we trust Andrew to do what his job is.
Of course, it's output.
It's about output, right? It's results. You know, there's the old term of results-only work environment. I mean, if we could all be thinking like that, that would be great, you know. And then we deal with the anomalies or the issues that come up along the way.
Well, that's what old Sovereign Insurance actually discovered with the four-day working week, in that they got just as much productivity done in 4 days as five. And they went, well, how does that work? Obviously, too many conversations in the kitchen. Who knows? But, you know.
But those are important.
But those are important as well. Yes, you're quite right, in terms of everything. Yeah. Can I just talk about you personally? You know, how much toll, because you're dealing with an executive and difficult decisions, and then you're actually relaying difficult decisions to the workforce, and the workforce actually asking you to relay difficult emotions and thoughts back up to the executive. So you are the meat in the sandwich. How do you cope? Who, you know, supports you?
Well, that's why I think I have to be, and anyone in this position has to be able to, you know, first of all, do all the things you're telling other people to do, which can be quite hard because you're used to looking after everybody else. So you have to try and look after yourself. You have to try and take your own advice, especially last year where, you know, there's times where you're really tired. You have to be aware of that, or maybe feeling a little bit average about things. You know, we're all humans, right? And keeping perspective, you know, that's really important to keep perspective. You know, yeah, we often in an HR role, you are having to absorb and process everybody else's stuff, whether that's good or bad, but you can't always absorb it all. So it's about how do you support and coach and guide people at any level to make the right decisions for them. And yeah, you have to be honest with yourself. It's important to tell somebody if you're not feeling great for some reason, and it's also important to try and find a way to do all the things that we know help, like have a laugh.
Yeah. So I'm talking to Catherine Collins, and she's done an 18-month change management project for Pernod Ricard, and she won the 2021 HR Manager of the Year Award because of it. And here's the kicker at the end of everything. You've actually decided to restructure yourself.
Well, not exactly my own decision, but it's a decision that is part of, you know, the overall change. And it absolutely makes sense to me that the pieces that led to my role not continuing. And as I say, I was fortunate to be able to stay with the team longer and help manage through this process. So, yes, it means that in a couple of weeks' time, I will finish my work, my job, and move on myself.
So is that a difficult part? Is that hard? Or, you know, we keep talking about the modern workplace being one that now is one of projects, of beginning, middles and ends, instead of a beginning and then an eternal middle until you get the gold watch. Is this a good thing?
For me, it's about the mindset that you have. And I'm probably fortunate that I'm reasonably optimistic about that. But there's a couple of other things that are important. You know, we are all well aware now that we are dealing with constant change. And how do you challenge yourself? And I'm trying to do it myself, challenge myself as to what I could be doing differently. What could I be thinking about differently? How could you be, you know, enhancing your skill set and your toolkit? How do you adapt? So, you know, example was having to adapt from the role I had been in for 2 years that was being disestablished to then taking on something else. And, you know, I suppose putting your hand up and saying, yes, I'm keen for that because this is what I can contribute to this. This is how I can add value. But also this is how it can, I suppose, help me have a meaningful career.
Yes.
And go forward. And I don't know what that will look like next, but, it, you know, there's an exciting element to it. And you have your moments where it's a bit scary too, but it'll work out.
Well, it does help that you're the 2021 HR Manager of the Year, which must go down quite well on a CV.
Let's hope so.
Catherine Collins, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Andrew.
If you've enjoyed this episode of People vs. Profit, give us a 5-star rating and share this episode with anyone you know who might find it helpful. You can subscribe to the CDL People vs. Profit podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or you can find the full series and even more great change management and outplacement advice at our website, cdlinsight.co.nz.